Welcome to GLHF, everybody, the world's first podcast in video games. Today, we're in Smash Brothers.
Super Smash Brothers.
Who are the Smash Brothers, anyway?
There are six of them. They were born in the early aughts, and the early 19-aughts, the 1900s. And they were kind of the people who ended up causing the Great Depression. And then from that, of course, that's where Nintendo found market dominance. That's where they grabbed their thing, and so they named the game after
them. They smashed the economy, you could say.
Yes, I think it was their last name was the Japanese word for smash. You might know that better than I. What's the Japanese word for smash?
Smashu.
Do you know? Smashu? Okay, yeah. So I think that was their last name, and it was six of them, and they really wrecked the global economy. And then Nintendo made a game out of them, but they tried to threaten to sue them, so they had to use Nintendo characters instead. But
gotcha,
it would have
gotcha.
Been John Jr., Robert, what was it, Peter, James, and not Jim. It was another J name. But it would have been them originally, and they would have just fought
just start,
with fists and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, just start naming people from the Bible.
Right. Well, everyone back then had biblical names. You know how it was.
Exactly.
That's just the nature of it.
Anyway, I... don't play Smash. I'm very anti-Smash, actually.
Yeah, you gotta tell me why.
And,
like I said, there's good reasons, but I don't know if you're gonna have good reasons.
Yeah, I think I probably don't have good reasons. My reasons are, if you're telling me to push a direction and a button at the same time, and it's different, and there's all these different combinations, and it's different depending on the positioning of your joystick, it's too much. It's too
okay,
much.
I was correct. You don't have good reasons.
No, I don't have good reasons, but I just...
But that's okay.
I don't know. I didn't grow up with it. I'm not part of the culture. So I play it when I have to. You know, once in a while, somebody forces you to play Smash.
Like your cousin usually is like, it's like someone like that.
Or like you're trying to play games with your family or something, and that's the only thing anybody wants to play for some reason.
Really? I wish my family would play Smash. They're always trying to play, like, Jackbox, which is also great.
Jackbox is fine. I enjoy Jackbox sometimes.
It's a good game. It's fun. It's like board game vibes. Pictionary, you know?
Yeah. But so my job when people are playing Smash around me is, you know, when somebody wins and it goes, game!
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty funny to think that it sounds like they're saying, gay!
It does sound
and
like
so
that, that's
every
true.
Time... Every time the match ends and it goes game, I go, gay! And that's my job.
I recently learned, I was looking up ghost towns in Texas recently for reasons, and I learned there's a ghost town called Gay Hill, but there's not even a ghost town there anymore. It's just a hill. So I really like that there's just a hill that is registered as a town, but it's just called Gay Hill. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
You know, when we would drive in Indiana back and forth to Indianapolis, there was an exit went like split off into two different little towns, and the names of the towns were like I think it was Whitestown and Brownsburg.
Wow. That's like the most Indiana thing I feel like I've ever heard. That feels very on brand. That's
and like,
crazy. Which
every
one
time
were you going to out of curiosity?
We went to neither. We just bypassed that entirely because
you don't. Yeah,
I just
don't
even
color.
See color like that. So
yes, exactly right, exactly.
I wouldn't know any difference.
You went to Graysville or something.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Weren't we talking about that? Oh yeah, because of Toontown, how everything was gray. Okay, so you don't like Smash.
What are the good reasons to not like Smash?
The community is extremely cringe and in some ways earnestly problematic. And beyond that, there aren't very many good reasons. It's actually kind of an amazing game and an awesome fighting game and has a really great feel and flow and a lot of work's put into it and really unique menu design, very confusing in a way that I respect. There might be some good reasons not to like Smash. The most vocal people who really love Smash tend to be extremely annoying. But maybe that's just the most vocal people of anything, right? So... That's my opinion, though.
Yeah,
as someone
I mean,
who's
it's...
gone to a lot of Smash tournaments in the past.
Wait, for real?
Not my favorite crowd. Yeah. I used to go to, like, Anime Con Smash tournaments and just, like, normal Smash tournaments they'd hold in the movie theater where I grew up.
Like, participate?
Yeah. I would never win, but it was always just novel to play Smash Brothers on a movie screen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I never liked the people. It was always extremely smelled really bad. And I'm not trying to generalize, but it always did.
Yeah.
And I was probably part of it. Let's be honest. It was a long time ago. Yeah, it was really annoying. So
yeah, I
find
feel
most
a little
people
bit,
annoying, I guess. But
I feel a little bit left out about it, I guess, because so many people love it. And it's like, I don't know. To me, it's like impossibly difficult and hard to wrap my head around. But people will just be like, oh, just throw on Smash and do a couple battles. And I'm like, I'm suffering, like trying to understand how to move around.
It's interesting because if you explain it correctly, you realize it's actually like the simplest of the complicated fighting games.
Sure,
like,
I'm sure it
like
is.
Versus like Street Fighter. It is like people talk about it as though it's like so obvious that if you hold Z and push to the left, you would dodge and then you can just grab them and throw them. And then you just go up and hit your up A and then they're gone. And it's like, OK, it's not that accessible. This isn't Mario Kart, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But
it is an excellent game. You can't deny its legendary status as a museum piece for video games.
For sure.
Can we have
Maybe
gamer
someday.
Time to start the show? Would that be OK with you? A little gamer time?
What is gamer time?
Oh, it's when I talk about how I got a gaming PC.
Yes! No, this was okay, on my topic list, too. Is like, let's freaking talk about your PC.
Yes, so I purchased a cringe gaming PC from a cringe website called Republic of Gamers, which is great. And it showed
What's
up.
What's cringe about it?
I just don't like anything that when you turn it on, it tries to make you seem cool. Like anything that, because you know how anytime you buy like an Alienware or something, it doesn't show the Windows screen first. It shows like a splash screen of like how you're a gamer.
Their
it's like
branding,
how I feel about Discord.
Yeah.
There's too much gamer stuff. But I bought it and I plugged it in. I turned it on and it works flawlessly.
You got the rainbow LEDs just, and everything in there.
Thankfully, I picked the one. I had to look for a little bit to find one that I couldn't see any of that stuff. I think they're in there. But they don't show through too much.
They're in there
I
in
don't
secret.
Know. I wonder. I don't know if
in
I'd be
shadows,
able to tell you.
The LEDs are shining.
Yeah, you can see them shining through. They it came with like a cover you could change out if you wanted to be able to see inside of it, which obviously I absolutely do not. So I did not put that. I actually threw that thing away. Let me see if I can find you the specs here. You can tell me. It was a good one. It cost me about I think $1,600. So I'm hoping it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It has a...
That's about what I spent on mine.
An NVIDIA GeForce RTX 4070. I don't know how new that one is, but I know the video card is the thing that people say is important.
Mm-hmm.
It has 32 gigs of RAM and then just a bunch of other bullshit. It's a small form factor PC, but unfortunately there was no... And I knew this, right? But there was no, like, really small one. Like, the one that you had given me originally... That's what I would have wished. I wanted a 4070 inside of something like that.
Yeah.
But that just isn't how it works.
Yeah, that kind of... they were trying to make that a thing. So I had this little Alienware... it's like a desktop PC, but I think it used like gaming laptop parts, which is why it's so tiny. But it's like the size of like a small game console. And it came with a little carrying case and everything. And... that was awesome for me in college because I would go home for the summer and winter breaks and just take my computer with me.
Yeah.
And then I gave that to Austin when I got my new computer because I like to give people my trash. You know, when I upgrade something, then I just give somebody my trash.
Triple down
and then I feel
gamernomics.
Like and then I feel like I'm doing something good by giving somebody something that's like 10 years
that's
old.
That's currently what I'm looking for is trying to find someone who can take that PC and use it. And I'm sure I've got some people who are like, yeah, that might be nice because, you know, it worked. It was a good little PC, but, you know, I'm trying to play real gamer talk time, I guess.
Yeah, at this point, I think it's outdated enough that you need to find like a child with no knowledge of what it should be like.
Someone who just wants to play like The Sims from 2013 or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was a cool idea, I thought, that they were making this little teeny tiny compact gaming PC that... At the time that I originally got it, it did run, like, the new stuff pretty well, like, well enough for me. But I guess it didn't catch on because they stopped making it, and I don't think there's anything like that anymore.
Yeah, it's really... There are people who do things like that, but you just rapidly, like, the graphics card shit right now seems so, like, that is such a big thing in PC gaming now that everyone is like, if it doesn't have like one of those cards in it, it's like nobody wants to make them. And so the ones I was reading, of the little tiny ones that I read reviews on, the reviews were super mixed. Whereas this one is probably about as unwieldy as, like, it's a little bigger than a PS5. And it's way denser. It's really heavy.
Yeah.
But it's not gargantuan. It's like,
PCs these days are too big.
Way too big. It's crazy how big they are. And I don't really get, well, I get it because as soon as I turn this thing on, it's loud as heck. And that's because it's so compact that the fans need to run, like, way too high to keep it cool. And that's what the reviews had said, so I'm pretty sure that's normal. But I was like, I turned it on, and I was like, I don't get how it's, like, some sort of strange... You have to make these huge compromises to have a PC bigger than an Xbox, but it's way louder. But the Xbox can run, like, everything that the PC can... Like, it's all running the same games. So I don't understand how the consoles are so efficient and so quiet, but an equivalent PC has to be like a work of magic, or it has to be like 7 times bigger. It's a little confusing to me.
I don't know. I think it's probably whatever company is making the metal for the cases has lobbied the industry so that they can use more of their metal materials.
Oh, to make them bigger, to sell more.
To make them bigger, yeah. More surface area.
I see, okay.
I don't know. I think to some people also it's like, the bigger my PC, the more beefy and strong it is. Because that's what you want out of a PC, is for it to be beefy and strong and masculine.
Yeah, you want it to be beefy, strong, and to run cool, I guess. So you need a lot of space to do that. But not me. No thanks. I'm not going to run anything that's... I don't even think it's set to 4. I think it's set to 1080p right now anyway. So it's not... I'm never going to overheat it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, it's awesome. You plug it in and it works, and it's great. The only thing is, obviously, anytime you install Windows, I don't know how they get away with the amount of crap that they force you to have, but you have to go in and turn off, like, you know how they try to tell you about the news when you turn your computer on, and you're like, why are you... I don't want to show the stock market when I click the
start
menu.
Stuff I have to... I'm very particular about my Windows settings. It takes a good fucking hour to set up a new computer and get all the settings
but
right.
To their credit, I hear people complain about it a lot as though it's not possible to turn it off. And most of it you can turn off, at least from what I saw.
Yeah.
There's a couple things you can't, but for the most part, it seems to run pretty lean if you want it to. So the only thing I've played on it so far is I'm continuing to play through that game Peripeteia, which I'm loving very much. Highly recommended. It suits my sensibilities a lot. And as soon as I turned it on, I was like, okay, this does run a lot better than it did on the other thing. And I'm sure a lot of that's optimization, but it's like, okay, a nice computer. There is something nice about, like, things running smoothly and working.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm very happy for you. I love a new device.
Yeah,
I know that feeling when you open a new device.
It's largely very positive. Yeah, it's like it really makes every day easier to get out of bed.
It seriously does. It lessens a little bit over the years. Like, I remember when I was a kid and I opened a new device, I felt like my world was expanding. I felt like I was seeing color for the first time.
Yes, yeah.
And now it's like the high lasts maybe a couple days, and then I'm like, okay, I'm used to it. You know,
sometimes... Have you thought that maybe we're too rich now, so we buy too many new devices?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I buy too many new devices.
Maybe we should only be buying one device every 5 years.
I think that's pretty much where I'm at still.
Oh, really? And it's just you've lost...
I don't know what you're buying.
I'm buying devices like a lunatic. Actually, what is the device I bought most recently? I mean, like, I got this TV for that video, and also I got a computer last year. So yeah, as soon as I hit it big on YouTube, I've upgraded all my devices, and I think this gaming PC is like the last one that I had to upgrade. So,
yeah, so it'll last for a while. You gotta hold off for a few years, and then the magic will return, maybe.
Yeah, but now I'm like, what am I using it for? Like, why are we so excited about this? Like, I'm going to play a ton of games on it, right? But it's going to be mostly, like, the type of stuff that we both play, which is, like odd games that are kind of not, you know, I'm not going to play Cyberpunk on my computer because I'd be too obsessed with like whether it's running right. So I'll just turn it on the Xbox. So I'm, yeah, like what am I going to use this for other than itch.io games and like weird early access Steam stuff?
It's just good to have.
And then, Habbo Hotel and Toontown.
Yeah, but Habbo is going to run like you've never seen it before.
It is. It's going to run really well, and I'm looking forward to it.
60 FPS Habbo Hotel.
Imagine how Chained Together is going to look. I mean, I don't think I'll beat you, but
I know it's kind of look. It's kind of part of the lore now, though, that Chained Together looks like that from your POV.
Maybe I'll just keep it. We'll keep it low. I'll start running the computer at like 480p so I can run everything at 900 frames per mm-hmm. second, even though I set my TV to 60 hertz. So
900 do that. Frames per second. Yeah. It's crazy. That's good, awesome for you. I have to tell the audience about my highlight of the day, which is another segment on the pod will be Mem's egg and cheese of the day, because I eat a lot of egg and cheese sandwiches, and I've upgraded the bread and the cheese. Because here's the thing,
game changer.
You eat a lot of egg and cheese sandwiches. There's not a lot of variety you can have, right? Like you can add some salt and pepper. You can, and you can change the bread and the cheese. That's right. Pretty much your only option, which is what I've done today. And I just wanted to say brioche bread and two slices of American cheese. Now hear me out. I know some people are getting grossed out already about the American cheese, but
right,
you know
they're
what?
Saying things like, oh, that's not cheese. Oh, how, you know, you dumb American.
I did get the package of American cheese that said deluxe natural American cheese. And so I'm taking that to mean that it is actually natural. I don't know what they
Wait. Did you look at the ingredients?
No, I don't need to look at the ingredients. It says natural on there. That's
they
probably
put the word deluxe on it, and you said, good enough for me.
Deluxe and natural.
Okay.
You know what it
is
says?
It
says natural cheese product.
Okay, so it's not cheese.
Cheese product.
Is it Kraft still?
No, it was just the grocery store brand, because I think I'm a little biased against Kraft American cheese specifically. That seems like even more plastic.
Isn't that?
But again, this is all in my head. Anyway, what I'm here to tell you is I tried to make it with this bread and cheese a couple days ago, and I only put one slice of American cheese on there, and two slices is the correct amount.
Yes, because, I agree. How many eggs is also part of the equation here? Okay, two eggs, two slices, that works.
Two eggs, two slices of cheese, two slices of bread. The extra slice of cheese is what perfectly canceled out the sweetness of the bread, because this brioche loaf that I got, I think you're supposed to make French toast with it, so it's a little bit sweet.
Brioche is good for a lot of stuff, but yeah, French toast, if you let it go stale, it makes really good French toast. But it's also good like hamburger buns and stuff, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
isn't that part of the
like millennial burger place meme that's going around where they're like
everything's
on a brioche bun?
Like, it's like a buttered brioche bun. And they're good. I mean, you can't deny.
It's like a long laundry list of ingredients, and there's probably kale in it, and then it says all wrapped up in a brioche bun.
Butter toasted brioche bun. Yeah, exactly. And it's got a big toothpick in it, and it's too big to eat.
Yeah, you can't freaking eat it.
Yeah. I don't like food that's too big to eat. It's a big annoyance for me.
That's very valid.
I don't know what the point is. I have to be able to, especially a sandwich.
Anyway, I just feel with this, the sandwich was so delicious, and I'm sitting here drinking my Dr. Pepper, and I feel exactly like that meme of David Lynch going, two cookies and a Coke.
Yes.
Amazing.
Two slices of cheese and a Dr. Pepper. I mean, come on.
I'm having the perfect day, is what I'm saying.
If I can ask, I was curious, based on our text conversation last night, because you joked about it, but if I had turned around and I said, actually, Mem, I have done crack cocaine, what would that make you think about me, if anything? Would you view me differently if you learned
that?
I really
highly doubt that you have done crack.
That's not what I'm saying. First of all, I haven't said whether I have or not. I just want to know.
I know, you're
going
to reveal that after
No, we're going to leave it in the dark. I may have, I may not have. Who knows? But if I had, what would change?
There's almost a 0% chance that you have done crack.
Sure,
if,
you can, whatever you want to say
you
is
had,
fine.
If you told me you had, I would guess it was like one time in like an extreme peer pressure situation.
Interesting. Okay. But it wouldn't, you would be like, would you be like, okay, that's fun? Or would you be like, never do that again?
I would definitely be like, never do that again.
Why?
Drugs are bad, dude.
Okay, I was just curious. Just because, like, you know, we had both immediately, we went with the narrative that, of course, I'd never done it before. That's the narrative we went with in that conversation. And so I was like, I wonder what the alternative would be if I was like, actually, I had.
There's no way you've done crack.
I'm not going to say if I have or haven't. We're just going to let it hang.
Well, I'm telling the audience there's a 0% chance you've done crack.
Mem says, knowing me, there's no way I have. But I can neither confirm nor I don't comment on rumors and speculation. Okay. I just wanted to ask that. I was curious. Now I can cross that off.
Yeah,
my
I guess the answer
here.
Is I would be judging you a little bit.
I knew you'd be judging me, but I didn't think it would be like serious dogmatic judgment. I figured it would just like shift the way you think about me a little bit, maybe slightly negatively, but you wouldn't, you would try not to let it get in the way of how you are willing to speak to me over the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would let it get in the way of our friendship, assuming you're not, like, currently addicted to crack.
Next week on the pod. I'm bringing in random people. You know how many people DM'd me saying, hey, I wasn't sure if you were serious or not, but I'll come on the pod if you want. I live here, and this is my job.
Yeah, a lot of randos. just giving you their full address.
Yep, and I was like,
address and zip code.
You know what? I will tell you that if this pod gets to 100 episodes, there is a 100% chance that somewhere between now and that episode 100, I will do that. We're just gonna start the pod, and there's gonna be someone here with me that neither of us.
And it's
have
just
ever
gonna
met.
Be a surprise to me. Are you gonna tell
yes,
me?
Exactly. Absolutely.
You're
not.
Just gonna be like,
no
this
way.
Is this person.
I'm gonna have done some sort of substances right before that I allegedly have never done, and then I'm gonna have a random person on the pod.
Because that's the only way you could have a guest.
Yeah, that's what's going to blow this place up.
Do the substances and then go find somebody on the street.
Oh, man. I might have to do those in reverse order, just depending on who I find. But I also wanted to ask you Pilates updates. Hello. How did we not start with that?
No updates. Nothing's happened.
Really? Just normal Pilates? You haven't seen that lady anymore?
You know, this is going to sound a little funny, but I'm not sure if I've seen her again or not, because I'm not sure I remember which old lady it was, to be honest
sure,
with you.
Sure, yeah, they do blend together.
They all kind of do blend together. But there is, I think I know which one it is. And she is kind of routinely annoying. She's got kind of a self-importance to her voice when she speaks.
Yeah. Somebody did comment to something that I didn't even really think of, which is like, unless the instructor tells you to move, like there is an authority figure in the room,
right?
Like
she was trying
job
to act
it is
like
to, like
the
make
authority
sure,
figure.
Right?
She's just it's a just, random woman.
It's just a weird. It's weird. I had one of our neighbors come out and ask us try to do the thing where they're like, "Could you not park in front of my house, please?" And we're like, "We live here. Why are you talking to me?" Mm-hmm. And it was like now to be fair, what was interesting about this is, this lady like was borderline. She was clearly having a panic attack because of how anxious it was making her to ask. And she asked very politely, to whatever extent you can. But it's that same thing of like, yeah, old ladies sometimes get a little funny, territorial in a certain way.
Exactly.
About that type of stuff.
It's territorial.
But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It
so
did make
sorry.
Me
there's
move
no,
out of my neighborhood.
There's no drama other than me being pathetic in the class, man.
Really? You're not? I thought you were killing it at Pilates.
I don't know what gave you that impression. I guess I'm glad that that's
the impression
I gave. You've
been doing it for like a year. What's going on?
I've been doing it for like, I mean, maybe since we moved, maybe 6 months, maybe less than that.
Yeah, but twice a week for 6 months, you're surely underselling yourself a little bit. How can you demonstrate Pilates skills? Is it like, you can run really fast now, or you can do pull-ups or something? What's like
it's
the...
It's just like muscle strength. So we do a lot of ab-focused things, so like planks and...
How long can you plank? That I'm not going to make you say that on air, but that's how I would test it. I would say, because you probably can do a much longer plank now than you could when you started, you'd imagine, right?
I genuinely don't know. I don't think I've got that much better because I've been going to the class, but I haven't changed my diet at all. I don't have enough protein.
Okay,
so I think I'm like not actually building muscle.
Yes, but the habit is really the hardest part. So if you're in the habit, then all you got to do is drink a bunch of protein shakes.
Exactly.
You'll be fine.
When I think about it, I'm like, you know what? I'm doing one step at a time. I'm getting used to going to the gym.
You just upped your cheese, you know?
That extra slice of cheese is really going to put on some extra muscle fibers.
Yeah.
It's in process right now. You know what I did do today is I picked up 5-pound weights instead of 3-pound when we do weights. So
there you go. That's an improvement. I'm trying to think. One of the things I'm trying to do this year, which is going to be absolutely impossible, but you know how people can do that thing where it's called a flag hold, where they can just go up on like a pole and hold themselves straight sideways, like parallel to the ground.
That's what you want to do.
That's my goal for the year. So I'm working on my what do they call that, calisthenics, a little bit this year.
Wow, I can't wait to see that.
Well, I'm not that close to it. But it's a great goal because it gives me something to work towards. And, you know, it looks cool. Whenever people do that stuff, you're like, dang, how the heck are you doing that? Turns out just really strong.
Yeah. And every time you see a flagpole, you can just pull that shit.
Check this out.
I'm going to be driving down the road. I'm going to look up at the American flag at the McDonald's and you're going to be up there.
Mm-hmm. It's just going to be me. Just going to be me flapping in the wind.
I can't wait to see you flapping in the wind. That's so exciting.
I'm thank you so much for saying that. I've never had someone say that to me before. All right, you can go now. What do you want to talk about?
You don't see movies, right? Because I was going to talk about Mickey 17.
I have seen movies. I have not seen Mickey 17. I did think that the premise seemed very fascinating. I heard mixed things about it in terms of whether it capitalized on that premise fully or not.
I thought it was so good. Cool. It was so entertaining. I tweeted
the way you
about
spoke
this,
about Mark Ruffalo in your bleat skeet was very good.
I don't know what it was. Mark Ruffalo plays this character in this movie that is like... Most people are saying it's like a Trump parody, which it definitely is in some aspects. But I really feel like he had his own twist on it that just... Every time he was on screen, I was laughing. I don't know what it was. I think he had some fake teeth in to make it look like he had like... veneers that were too big for his mouth, and that was really funny.
I like that.
And just the way that he was the way that he was speaking and acting, I just thought it was so funny and so delightful. And I saw an interview with him, because when I see movies I really like, I go home and watch a bunch of interviews with everybody that made it.
Sure, and, as we all do.
And he was saying he was like really nervous about the role because he doesn't usually do like comedic roles, and he wasn't sure if he could pull it off or whatever. And so I just want to say to Mark Ruffalo, esteemed viewer of our podcast, that I thought you were fucking awesome. And that was the best part of the movie. I was like, literally, he would be just be like doing something funny in the background of scenes where he was not even the focus. And it just made me laugh so much. I just thought it was so funny.
I feel like I've seen him be funny. I don't know why he would not have confidence. Because like in some of those Marvel movies, he was genuinely... a hoot in those in a low key like subtle really funny way.
Yeah.
So I think he's just a funny dude.
Yeah, I think so too. But maybe he's just I don't know. Maybe he's just humble about it.
That's what makes him Mark
Ruffalo.
It
was great. And of course Robert Pattinson was awesome in it too.
Yeah, he always does good. I like the voice he did in the trailer at the very least.
Yeah,
that was very
the
like
voice
weird
that he
and
does
funny.
Is like when the movie first starts and you hear the voice, you're like, is he seriously going to talk like this the whole time? Yeah. But then like somehow it works. Like by the end of the movie, you're like, yeah, that's just that how that guy talks.
Yep. I really appreciate our Pat.
It's so awesome. All of his interviews are crazy. Like, I mean, have you seen all the ones where he just lies about stuff and then he'll like another interview like a year later and be like, yeah, I just lied about that.
Yeah, because you can. There's no consequence.
Yeah,
it's not. It's all fine. You know, you can just.
But
make
did you
stuff
see
up.
The one where it was like a Zoom interview where he was going on and on? I don't even know who was interviewing him, or why this was a thing, but he was going on and on about how he had been making, like, spaghetti with American cheese melted on it. Whoa. In the microwave. He had, like, this whole long story about he was making this, like, crazy dish that was just, like, noodles with American cheese on it in the microwave, and it, like, burnt, and, like, his microwave blew up or something. But we have no way of knowing if that's true. He could have just made all that up on the spot, because there's so many things that he's come back and been like, yeah, I just made that story up because I thought it was funny and I didn't know what to say. I think what he says is that he feels, like, nervous and awkward in interviews, and for some reason he just starts making things up.
Yeah, that's relatable. Lying out of anxiety in very elaborate ways. No, that's no problem. That's just a human thing to do. Everybody thinks that's just fine.
Anyway, so love that guy. I won't spoil the movie at all, even though it's not exactly like that spoilable of a movie. It's just like a fun time. But highly recommend, man. I love a little sci-fi. I thought it was like enough sci-fi to like scratch the sci-fi itch, but also be funny and just like fun to watch.
Is it better or worse than Snowpiercer?
I haven't seen Snowpiercer.
Okay, I really liked Snowpiercer. But then I heard several people say that they thought Snowpiercer was Bong Joon-ho. Is that his name? Whatever his name is. They thought it was his worst movie. And I was like, if that's his worst movie...
Oh, is it the same director?
I believe so, yes. Because he did Parasite.
Mm-hmm.
But he does, like, Korean movies, and then he does, like, English movies.
Yeah.
And everyone says his Korean movies are better than his English movies. But I don't know. I don't know anything about it other than all the premises for his movies is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I like him a lot. Oh, I just wanted to say, I was reading the comments.
Yes.
And I thought everyone was really nice. What did you think? Did you think everyone was really nice this week, this past week? I felt just a lot of comments being like, I love this show. You know, a lot of people saying they love this show.
Exactly. Like, well, that's what I was
saying. And I believed him.
Last episode, I was like, everybody's so nice. And you're like, I don't know about that.
Right. And that's what surprised me, because I can be really rude to our audience sometimes. And I'm going to continue to do that, obviously. But I appreciate when people say that they are having a good time, because it makes me feel like we have a rapport. I'm not sorry for making fun of them sometimes, and they shouldn't be. They make fun of me sometimes too. They don't make fun of you as much as they make fun of me. Have you noticed that?
I don't know. I guess not.
Yeah, well, pay attention and you'll see. Okay. There's a little bit of bias in the audience.
Sorry.
You know, like a lot of people say things like, oh, well, if Mem and Austin put out a video at the same time, I'm going to watch Mem's first. Sorry, Austin. There's a lot of that. You know, there's a lot of side-taking going on in here.
Yeah, this isn't about taking sides, guys.
Yeah, and so I appreciate everyone being nice, but I just want to say I do notice the bias. And it's okay. I don't blame anyone.
Sorry, it's not intentional. I'll start being more problematic so that we can turn the tides in your favor.
Okay, that'd be great. Say some more things about...
gay! Like, is that problematic?
Yes, we got off to a good start for this episode. I think people will be very pro me this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
Because you would never say the word gay.
No, I haven't yet. Would I ever, in like an academic context, if it
You'll
came
do crack,
up,
but you won't say the word gay.
Well, I may do or may have done or have not done crack.
Yeah, allegedly.
That's a totally separate conversation that I cannot comment on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that the G word yet. But again, if it was like an academic context or if someone had a gun to my head, of course I would say it. No problem. I would say it enthusiastically in that case. But until that happens, I'm going to avoid it. I still have not researched Mr. Beast, but I thought I would just say that because I saw someone being like, how come you didn't talk about the Beast again this episode?
Yeah, I mean, is there any news? Let me just Google Mr. Beast news.
I don't know. Yeah, I did see an article all about how he... And this is part of the reason why I didn't bring it up last week, is because the only article I saw like actually made me think much more positively about him. And I didn't... I figured since all the conversation's negative, I must be missing something. But I read an article about his the way he sources his chocolate and how complicated it is to source ethical chocolate and like find and not use child labor and how much work it took them to do that. And I was like, oh, that's pretty sick. But that was not, I didn't look into all of the allegations of how he didn't feed people, you know?
Yeah, so. I looked up Mr. Beast news and I'm seeing as of today, the Feastables chocolate bars are certified kosher. So if anybody needs to eat kosher, you can eat Feastables.
Have you ever eaten one of those Feastables?
Absolutely not.
I have. They're actually very good. It's a very good chocolate bar.
Why did you buy Feastables?
Because the packaging is a really nice color. And when I touched it, because I was like, oh, is this the Mr. Beast thing? And I touched it and I was like, this is a really nice. I want to open this. So I mostly bought it just to feel the feeling of the packaging. But I ate it and I was like, this is genuinely probably like, I thought it was going to be like Hershey's crap. But it's much more in the vein of like, have you ever had those delicious, are they Lindor truffle chocolates? You ever have those things?
Yeah.
Or so good. And that's kind of what they are like. They're more like that kind of nice creamy chocolate. Not as good as the Lindor truffles. Those things are still goated. But better than I expected. And the ingredients were good too. But again, this is why I didn't want to get into it, because all I learned was that nice things about him, and I didn't want to come here and just be like, one article.
Speaking of glazing, Mr. Beast.
I am not going to shy away. If I do the research, and I genuinely don't think, because again, my whole argument was, I'm not even saying he's great. I'm saying he's on par with any of these other like reality TV executives. That's the only thing I've seen, or reality, whatever. And if that's what I see, I'm going to call it like I see it. I'm not going to come here and pretend to hate on someone just
because
it's
fashionable. Title of this episode, Austin continues to defend Mr. Beast.
And I'll continue to do so until I do my research.
You know something freaking crazy?
What?
Guess what my gas bill is for my furnace monthly.
Oh, man. Okay. During the winter, I need to ask a few clarifying questions, if I may.
Sure.
Is your laundry dryer gas or electric?
Electric. And you know what? I feel like I've heard that people have a gas dryer, and I'm like, how does that even work? That sounds scary. That's a thing?
It is scary. We had one as a kid, and the bottom cover of the dryer fell off, so you could look into it, and it's literally just open flames underneath the dryer.
Well, yeah.
And I always thought it was very terrifying. So you're correct. It is scary. Your stove, is it electric or gas?
The only gas appliance in the whole house is the furnace. So I'm talking, the gas bill is
okay.
Only for the furnace.
Even your water heater?
Yes. Everything's electric.
How big's your house?
I think
or do you not want to say? You want to keep it a secret? Like, just in terms of generally, how many bedrooms?
I don't know. Are people going to judge me? It's like 1,200 square feet.
I think mine is slightly bigger than that, so you're fine. Or you mean judge it for being small?
No, judge it for being big. This is the biggest house I've ever had.
How many bedrooms is it?
I mean, three technically, but one of them is the game room.
Wait. 1,200 square feet? Because my last apartment was 1,100. It was one bedroom, and it felt pretty small. Like, it wasn't, I didn't have,
I think
like, it was
1,200.
Like, there was no, I didn't have a separate dining room or anything like that. It was just like a bedroom, a kitchen, a living room.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up on Zillow.
What's the address? you know, you got to try. You got to try. You got to give it a go.
It's set on Zillow. It says 1,200.
Okay.
But it seems really big to me. That's not big.
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's big. I've got a two-bedroom, and it's 1,500, and I would say the bedrooms feel big, but not like... Well, this is also the biggest place I've ever lived. The last place I was in was 1,100, and it felt reasonably cramped. Like, or it felt very normal, I guess you would say. Like, 10-foot by 10-foot bedrooms. Hey, maybe I'm just wrong about all my everything. It's totally possible.
1,100... I mean, if we're comparing to my house now... There's no way your last apartment was 1,100 square feet.
I'm pretty sure. Well, let me look it up.
Yeah, what was your address for everybody?
I mean, I don't live there anymore. I could say it, but actually, I know the person who lives there now, so I don't want to dox her. But okay. I was just Okay, this is interesting because that, well, this says it's 700 square feet, so I was just totally
wrong. Yeah.
which makes me then wonder what my place now actually is. Let's see if we can figure that out. I think it's 1,500, though, which explains why it feels pretty big. Yeah, this says 1,500.
Okay, yeah, so your place now is bigger.
That's your mine. Cover, is that people won't judge you because mine's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Your gas bill, just gas, not electricity.
Yeah.
Well, I don't exactly know how well insulated and stuff it is, but I'm just going to ballpark and say $70.
What would you say if I said it was $300 a month?
Wow. My initial thing was like, if I was going to guess high, I was going to say 150. You probably need to put some plastic over your windows.
I don't know, dude. So, first of all, the furnace is in the attic, which sounds to me, you know, heat rises. That sounds like the worst possible place to put a furnace is in the attic.
Well, if it... okay, well, go on.
Just because you would imagine it's having to, like, pump all the air down. I don't know. It seems like maybe it would take more energy.
Sure, yeah, the fans will work a little harder probably, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the problem is. We had a furnace in our house in Indiana where it's much, much colder. Like, here, the winter is just maybe 40 degrees. Like, it doesn't get below freezing very often. And it's mostly colder at night. So, the fact that we would be paying that much is crazy. Our furnace in Indiana, and we had a gas stove there, too. Our gas bill was never more than $100. I think it was $80. Maybe like $90 in the winter when we're running the furnace all the time. And so I called I called the gas company about this $300 bill, which had been going on for a couple months because I have everything on auto pay and I don't pay attention. But I finally paid attention and I was like, what the fuck? We've spent like $900 on heating this year. I called the gas company and was like, can you have somebody check if there's like something wrong? But then I did a test. I, like, turned the furnace off for a day and took pictures of the gas meter before and after, and it did not go up. So,
okay, so
it's not going anywhere else besides the furnace, but I just think that's freaking crazy, dude.
Well, it's definitely possible because isn't Oregon, like, a hippie state with a bunch of liberals? Again, I say I don't want people to think that I think that's bad. Sorry. I got to watch my tone.
It is, yeah. The woke like, mind virus is
the
rampant
woke mind
here.
Virus is all through the hearts and minds.
Which
of
has, have
out
I
there.
Said before that like if that phrase didn't have the connotations that it has, it sounds really extremely cool. Like that's like a really cool like band name or something. Woke mind virus.
You know,
it sounds
actually,
awesome.
When you said band name, you convinced me that you're right. I think it's actually a really hilarious term, and I love using it.
Oh, it is very funny. Yes, it's also very funny.
Because people say it unironically.
Yes.
But like Louisiana, which is what I base my estimate off of, and then Indiana, both have like really big gas industries, right? So you'd imagine that there's like probably big subsidies and like it's gas just tends to be cheaper in places that it doesn't have to travel as far to get refined. So it might be like that could be a big problem. So maybe, I don't know, go woke, go broke, something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, all of our utilities are more expensive here. Also, I've never had to pay for, like, sewage before, but now we have, like, a sewage component to our water bill that is, like, $80 or something.
Yes, like, that's how I... It's just...
To
that's
flush
state
away
by,
my poo-poo?
Or maybe city by city. Yeah.
Paying
that's
money?
Someone's got to do it, right? You should pay money for that.
Are they metering the sewage, or are they just evenly splitting it between all the citizens?
That's a great question.
Are they metering
how
much poo-poo I'm flushing?
Right. You should be paying only for what you flush.
Yes.
You shouldn't be paying. You know, I'm not here to subsidize other people's poo-poo.
If
that's
my neighbor
mine.
Johnny has IBS.
Right. And I got to pay for that? What kind of government overreach is this? Somebody call Doge. Dismantle the Oregon Municipal Water Company. That's next.
Anyway, so, and I pay for part of my bill just says rainwater, like the fucking city rainwater drainage system. Somehow I'm paying for that. So we were just joking about that the other day. Like, are they metering the rain? Are they charging me for how much it rains?
Yeah, like if it rains more, do they charge you more? Or like if you put a big umbrella over your house, would you save money? Because it's not just rainwater is going into your drains.
I'm going to like angle my gutters into the neighbor's yard so that it counts for them or something.
You have never sounded more like a 45-year-old man than you just did when you said that exact same thing. We're going to angle the gutters into the neighbor's yard to avoid a high water bill because this rainwater charge is ludicrous. Who put that there? That
was ludicrous, though. That's crazy.
I mean, it's, you know, whether it's ludicrous is like what do they need money for and how are they going to get it, right? So if that's...
I don't know. I think the point is, next winter, I'm just going to be freezing. I'm just not using
the
heat.
Why not just... have you heard stuff about making more money?
That's also on the table.
There you go. That's an option.
But also, like, what... I guess, how much am I willing to pay to be comfortable versus if I just put on some more sweaters?
What if being comfortable affords you the energy to... be more productive, to make the money to, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is I have very little tolerance for being uncomfortable because we did put the thermostat down to 60 like yesterday to try to save some money on it, and I put it back up today because I'm like, I'm too cold. So I got out of bed this morning and I'm like, it's too cold. I can't get anything done.
I keep mine at about 66, I feel like, when it's cold. But I have it timed so that right when I wake up in the morning, it goes up to 75 for like 30 minutes and just blasts me with heat.
75 is crazy.
Well, that only stays on for half an hour and then it turns. So it's like, it's basically just, I'm telling it, turn on right when I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning so that then I can get out of bed easily. Because if I'm cold, I will just not get out of bed. So that's my hack for getting out of bed because I'm a wimp.
It's hard to get up when it's cold. Anyway,
it's so hard.
I'm freaking paying somebody's college dorm rent in heating bills is my point.
Yeah, you're paying for other people's IBS is what it sounds like. So,
oh my god,
you can run for city council or something, you know, or just go to the city council meeting. I mean, you'll figure it out.
The gas bill is too damn high.
Yeah, it's just that rainwater surcharges.
Gosh, what am I becoming, actually? Because what do I talk about on this podcast? I talk about my drama with moms at Pilates, and I talk about my gas bill is too high and my rainwater bill. Like, have I lost track of reality? Am I, like, not?
What's my problem? But yeah, it is interesting how many of your topics are, like, adult disputes. And annoyance. It's almost like a curb your enthusiasm
situation.
There's
nothing interesting going on in my life. I think that's what it is. And I think you just naturally start to become like a neighborhood watch Karen when you have nothing going on. I have more like traveling coming up this summer. And so hopefully I'll have more real things to talk about because I don't know what's going on with me right now.
I think we got good topics on this podcast overall. If you laid out every topic we talked about in order today, I think you would see that we covered a lot, we learned a lot, we had a laugh, you know, it was stimulating, it was exciting. I'm currently stalling because I'm trying to read about stormwater fees in Oregon and why and where they came from. 1993, it looks like it's where that came from because your city was having issues keeping its clean water resources up to snuff and having issues with like runoff and things like that. So they incorporated this thing in order to build up their like sewage and rainwater distribution or whatever so that it would just be, it would get to the river without so many contaminants and things. So that's what you're paying for.
Yeah, I don't mind paying for, you know, public services that are actually helpful. It's fine. I'm not complaining about that.
Assuming it's actually helpful, yeah. Go test your river water, I guess.
I'm just PO'd at my landlord, I guess, for installing a furnace that costs $300 a month. I just think, surely there's some way they could have avoided that.
You get a heat pump, which that's probably the most I've ever sounded like a 45-year-old man.
What is
saying,
a heat?
What even is a heat pump? It's like an electric house heater, but apparently they're way more efficient at like heating. It's kind of like an air conditioner in reverse. You know how air conditioners get really hot, but they put the hot outside and the cold inside? Mm-hmm. They just like flip it around and put the hot inside and the cold outside. They're more energy efficient than like a gas boiler.
Interesting.
Which I assume is what you have, so...
A couple other comments I want to go over. Did you see all the comments mentioning how your camera was pointed the wrong direction last episode?
You know, I did see that. How someone, the top comment was like, okay, Austin, does it look like this? And then Austin says, yep, but it doesn't. And I'd like to be very clear. I don't remember saying that at all. I don't remember you saying that. I don't remember getting it wrong. I don't even remember being critical of, like, I'm not sure what happened. It reminds me of this one time.
Yeah, you blacked out. You were on crack. It's okay.
Yes, exactly. It reminds me of this time that I was driving with, me and Ashlyn were driving and we stopped and there was a person who was like, do you have any money? And if I have money, I usually just give them all the money I have on me anytime I have it. And I had $10, so I gave him a $10 bill. And allegedly, I gave it to him and I said, bada bing. But I don't remember saying that at all. I don't. And then we drove away and Ashlyn looked at me and she said, did you just say bada bing when you gave that man $10? And I said, no. And she said, yeah, you did. And I said, well, I don't remember saying anything. And she was like, you gave it to him. You said bada bing. And it was extremely embarrassing. And she makes fun of me for it all the time now, which is fine because it was... extremely embarrassing.
I 100% believe that, though. I can hear it right
wait,
now.
Why?
You saying bada bing.
Wait, what do you mean you 100? Why do you believe that quickly?
I just do. I just
I
can
seem
hear
like
that.
The type of guy who would say that? That
yes.
This is a big problem for me.
Yes, I can hear it. I can
why
hear it right
I,
now.
When have I ever said anything so embarrassing as that?
I don't know, because you're
you
like...
You can hear it right now?
Yes, it's so clear in my mind. Because
oh,
you like
horrible.
I don't know. Because it's like an awkward interaction, and you're just like pulling something out to say.
Right. Yeah. No, that's exactly what it was. But why was it? Why did it? Why, I'm curious why it seems like that's what I would say. Because you know, you could see something being like, "Here you go, man," or something like that, which is like slightly embarrassing, but like not that bad.
Saying so. "Bada bing" to a homeless person is actually crazy.
Well. That was what he had to go through that in order to receive $10. That's a pretty good deal. Hey, if you listen to me do something really embarrassing right
I
now, it'll be $10.
I love that.
Pretty good.
That's so awesome. Anyway,
maybe that kind
I wanted
of
to say by including that clip at the beginning, I was not intentionally being passive aggressive trying to get people to notice that you did it wrong. But I can't say that I'm disappointed in the outcome because. You have done that exact thing wrong the last two episodes, and I've noticed when I'm editing and I'm like,
yeah, no, really? The last two? What was the episode before this? Minecraft?
In the Toontown one also, I don't even know why, because it's not a natural camera angle, but you've been putting me kind of like behind you in your view.
Okay.
So anyway, be controlling, but...
If you want me to fix it, just like shame me a lot in the next couple of minutes... And just be like,
yeah, I've heard really, that works for you.
Tell me it's a lot of work.
Shame works for you.
It does. It does. It really does. So tell me it like causes a lot of work and stress for you. And I don't know. Or just get the commenters to shame me and that'll be fine. Then I'll do it right. Hopefully
yeah, well, that's
I do
what
it
I'm
right
saying.
Today.
Is
who even
it,
knows?
I think that's already in motion because they are shaming you.
They're not doing a good job of it, though.
Not enough. So keep it up, guys. Keep it up. I mean, this
like
one...
The way that they post about it, I feel like makes me sound funny. Like a funny... Because it says... The top comment says, mem, quote, and then you should have me on your right. And then Austin lying. Yeah. It makes it sound like I'm a smart person doing a bit. When actually I was just... I basically have the same relationship with this podcast as I do when I'm giving money to people on the street, which is I'm blacked out with social anxiety and making things up and I don't remember any of it.
Anyway, I liked that somebody called me the director of the podcast in one of those comments. They were like,
"No, you are."
Because I'm
sure.
I'm trying to be like like direct it like a film, and I just appreciate that title because I am the director.
As my old economics professor used to say, you doing this podcast is like it's like wrangling a bunch of long-tailed barn cats at a rocking chair convention. Think about that.
Say that again.
It's like wrangling long-tailed barn cats at a rocking chair convention, which is to say, their tails are constantly getting rocked on, and so they're jumping all over the place like lunatics.
Ooh, I was imagining they were like jumping on the chairs and then rocking the chairs.
Maybe
that too.
That's what he used to say when we were misbehaving. He used to say, "You guys are like a bunch of long-tailed barn cats at a rocking chair convention." I said, Mr. Berglund, you're so funny. Nobody knows what that means. We don't even know what a barn cat is.
I know, I think
South
it's so
Minneapolis.
Funny. It's so funny when you grow up hearing certain phrases and then say that somewhere else and it turns out it was just your family and nobody knows
yes.
what you're talking about.
This happens to me every time I say a horse apiece. You ever heard that before? It's
no.
a horse apiece. It just means like it's six of one, half a dozen of another. It's a horse apiece. It's a horse either way. I'm not sure where it comes from, but apparently that's extremely regional.
What does six have to do with a horse?
Well, because it's like if someone, it's like, oh, should we take this way to the gas company warehouse so we can complain about our gas bill? Or should we take that way to the gas company? And you go, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It's six of one, half a dozen of another, which is saying it's six or half a dozen, but those are the same thing, just with different words.
Gotcha.
Tomato, tomato would be another way of expressing
right,
this.
Right.
A horse apiece.
A horse
either way
a
you
piece.
Do it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
A horse apiece. So, you have any things like that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anybody else says this, but me growing up, I think it was mainly like one of my aunts would say this was get your yayas out, and that meant like
whoa
when the kids are being crazy, they need to get their yayas out, which means they need to go like run in circles in the yard until they're less crazy.
Okay, that's if I heard someone say that, I would assume they were getting up to something else. But I guess it depends on the age of the person saying it. Apparently, it was a Rolling Stones live album, like a Rolling Stones concert album called Get Your Yayas Out. So it might be a phrase that they used for that would be my assumption.
Interesting.
But there you go. You got to get your yayas out. I've never heard that before.
But yeah, nobody outside of my family that I have said that to has heard it before, so...
Yes, if you said, okay, I got to go get my yayas out, I would definitely have to ask for clarification, I think, on what you were about to go do.
Yeah.
You could be doing something.
It just means you got to run around.
Yeah, you got to get your yayas out. No, now that you've said it, I understand.
We say that now
it.
Like when the cats have zoomies, we say they got to get their yayas out.
They're getting their yayas out. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Any other comments you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, just a couple more things before we go. Lots of people, I know it's like you're saying with people wanting to be on the pod just because we mention it. Every time we mention like, you know, I mentioned needing an assistant and then I got like five emails and a bunch of comments about,
oh, yeah.
Please let me be your assistant.
Yeah, and they're like serious too. And you're like, don't, dude, stop.
So I just want to say none of you should be offering services for free to anybody.
Exactly. Yes. Like, I know it seems like you should. You shouldn't.
I know. I get that it comes from a good place. I understand, like, really liking a creator. But, like, there's, like, a weird power dynamic there, even if you genuinely do feel okay about it, which I believe you. It's still not okay. So just don't
yes.
do it. Like, they won't feel like they're being taken advantage of, but, like, by definition, they are. So just don't...
Yes.
Don't say you'll do free stuff for people. And I'm not... I'm never going to be accepting free work from people unless it's, like... very specific circumstances, but
I would say the only circumstance in which you should do that, and this is where like is in like an apprenticeship kind of way, like if you're getting a very clear education and benefit and a leg up in some way out of something, like if Mem said, hey, come be my assistant and I will teach you how to be a successful YouTuber, that could be an incredibly beneficial thing to do. I can't do that. I have one person who does things for me that I cannot pay. They refuse it. And all they do, not all they do, this is not no work, but professionally their job is to do subtitles. And so he does English, German, and something else subtitles for me. And I, every time I'm like, I want to pay you for this. Let me do it. And he's like, he said, if you pay me, I'm not going to do it. He said, I really am just totally happy and I just really want to do it. It's just, it takes me no time. It's no problem. And I still feel bad about it. But I think...
Well, that's just so funny because that's exactly what I was about to say is I have one guy working for me for free and he does the subtitles.
Yeah. I don't know. Is his name Lawrence? That'd be so funny if it's the same guy.
No, it's Michael. Shout out Michael that does my subtitles.
Shout out Lawrence. Yeah, Lawrence, if you ever want to come on the pod, Lawrence, and you can get over here, you let me know. You can come on the pod.
But the only reason that I accept that is because it's like a community service. And it's like for people that need subtitles or like I can understand how to him he's doing it to like serve other people that aren't just me, I guess is what I'm saying.
For sure.
So it feels a little bit better in that way, but I still don't love it, but I also don't have the money to pay people right now. So
yeah, I think I just like paying people because if I'm not paying them, I feel like I can't demand things from them. So like if Lawrence just like doesn't do it, I can't be like, yo, I need you to do them. Mm-hmm. You know? Like I can't fire it because then I'll just be like, I'm just going to get someone to do it. Mm-hmm. And then so I don't like the dynamic of like. I think socially that dynamic is difficult for me.
Yeah.
So I like paying people because it helps me.
I would love to be able to pay people for all kinds of things in the future if I ever am successful enough to do that. But it's a little too hard to do that right now.
I wanted to shout out, who is it? Shade1361 who said, hey, y'all, I've started watching Eggbusters and Self-Care. And I think it's always great when people go back and check out the catalog. I always want to reward that kind of behavior. Do you like when people go back and watch your early videos? Like, do you ever get a comment saying like, wow, I just caught up on all your past content?
Yeah, I mean, people do. Because I'm grateful that people like me and they want to watch all my stuff. A lot of people that sub to me apparently go back and watch like everything I've ever made, which is pretty much humiliating for me. Because I think, as I've said before, the only good videos I've ever made are always the most recent three.
Of course.
And anything past the most recent three is old news and it's bad and it's my old style and I'm not like that anymore. So it's hard for me, especially like it is crazy the evolution. Like now I have like the YouTuber evolution that I've noticed from other people. Like when you sub to somebody new and you go back and watch their old stuff and their old videos, they're like so much like quieter and more nervous and like not as funny because they're like not used to being on camera. Like that's exactly what it was like. So it's so funny the difference in like how animated I am and how like somebody commented on one of my old videos that was like, it sounds like ASMR because of how quiet I was speaking. And it's just because I like wasn't used to talking in front of a camera and I felt awkward. So
what was your first video?
Don't worry about it. Don't look it up.
Wait, why not? Is it up still?
Yeah, for sure.
It can't be that, but I just want to know like what it was about. Because I'll look it up if I have to.
It was probably Tomb Raider Anniversary, I think, was maybe the first one.
Okay.
It's also weird to see my hair evolution because I started YouTube with long hair and no bangs. And then I got the bangs. Whoa. And then I cut the hair. So a lot has happened.
Yeah, everybody, go back and check out the hair. You should really, everyone should be caught up on the story, the lore, right?
Yeah, the story of my hair.
So go back, make sure you check out.
I think that's my first reaction when I see an old video or a thumbnail of mine is always, what the fuck is going on with my hair?
Really?
Even ones that are like not that old. I think I always have a problem with my hair.
Your hair was different in almost every thumbnail for a period of time. And then you settled on the good bob. But there was a period of time where, yeah, it was like it was like up, it was down, it was this way, it was that way. You did a lot of cool hairstyles.
Yeah, well, I did more things with it when it was longer. That's the only thing I miss about it being long is there was variety and now there's no variety.
Oh, yeah, I forgot when you kept looking at holes. I remember that. You kept going in Genshin and just looking them up.
I wish I had made that video now and it would be better. Because I like the concept,
but it's... That what if you just went back and started from your first video and just remade them all again, but better? then you would never run out of ideas. So then you just get on like a 5-year loop and you just keep revisiting the exact same ones, because I don't think people would care.
What else was I going to say about my hair? I don't remember.
Are we sticking with what we got for now? We're pretty happy with it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have the bob until I die.
It's iconic. Yeah, it's definitely iconic. I mean, it's part of the blow up for
sure. It changed my life. Yeah, I think that's the reason I'm blowing up on YouTube, probably, the bob.
There is that theory about how, like, people don't blow up until they do something dramatic with their hair. And there's, like, whoever it is had, like, a bunch of examples. But, like, well, as soon as Chapel Roan dyed her hair and did a bunch of stuff, she started blowing up. As soon as Annie Austin put the hair clips in, he started blowing up. As soon as Mem got the bob, she started blowing up. So,
okay, I think the pod is over.
That's fine with me. I